Dr. Nielsen, thank you for joining us on HealthOH.org today.
My pleasure, Jackie.
The AMA has a very broad, very ambitious advocacy agenda. But if you had to say, what would you describe as the single most pressing issue in healthcare, the healthcare system today?
The AMA is absolutely committed to making sure that the 47 million Americans who have no health insurance get access to that health insurance. We know that people who don't have health insurance live sicker and they die sooner. They delay preventive care, they delay treatment because of concerns about being able to afford it. And this is a tragedy. It's not just a statistic. It's one in seven of us, and the AMA is committed to making sure that that changes.
Are you a practicing physician yourself?
I am.
And how do you see the uninsured, the problems of the uninsured play itself out in your practice or the practice of your colleagues in upstate New York?
Oh, it's just a real problem. Remember that people who come to a doctor in the office are often the people with insurance. Those who don't have insurance don't even go there because of concerns about cost. So the problem is we end up seeing them, but we see them late. We see them in the emergency room. We see them when the condition has worsened to the point where either it is unable to be helped or it takes much more expensive therapies or hospitalization to solve it. So we see it all the time, and we still see people dying of preventable conditions like cancer of the cervix because a woman didn't have a pap smear in time. It just doesn't make sense. And frankly, we need to switch that. We need to make sure we cover all Americans.
And what is the AMA's prescription for getting those uninsured coverage and access?
We have a plan that we have worked on and refined over a decade. And it is now gaining traction both with economists and, frankly, with all the presidential candidates, because when you look at their platforms, there are elements in each of them that have some of the AMA's plan. Basically, it has three elements. First, that individuals can choose and own their own health insurance. Second, that low-income Americans are given the means to purchase their own health insurance. And finally, reform of the healthcare market so that people with pre-existing conditions can get insurance and that insurance is more affordable for all.
Let's go into detail on each point. Let's go back to the first one, making insurance coverage portable. How does that work in your plan?
What we think is there needs to be a change in the tax system so that an individual who purchases insurance on the individual market is not disadvantaged compared to those who purchase insurance through their employer. That
because
is the biggest
the tax
change.
Breaks.
Tax breaks, exactly. Right now, of course, someone purchasing insurance on the individual market gets, first of all, can't afford it. It's very, very expensive. They're not in a risk pool. And frankly, they get no tax benefit from doing it, whereas the tax benefits are all for those who are employed. So we think equalizing that tax, and it's there's a complex way of doing that, but that is in essence equalizing it so that those who are purchasing it individually are not disadvantaged.
So people who currently have insurance through their employer under that piece of your plan, it wouldn't change for them. People on the individual market would begin to get the same kinds of tax breaks that those others do?
There are several ways it could work. But for example, an individual attempting to purchase on the individual market would get some tax credit, as would a low-income individual be given a tax credit. Now, if a person is really low income, the tax credit won't be enough. They have to have cash. The cash could be in the form of a voucher, could be used only to purchase health insurance. But what that would do is give even a low-income individual and any individual the ability to make choices. The reason that choice is so important is right now, first of all, only 60% of employers even offer health insurance. And of those employers who offer it, 88% offer only one option. That's not called choice. So we think that an individual could make better choices that would fit the needs of themselves and their families. And the financing could be done through the employer, much as it is at the present time, but the choice and the ownership of the health plan would remain with the individual. That is a big change in our country.
But just to clarify one thing, so you're suggesting that people who are employed get their insurance through their employer.
They could
opt out of what the employer offers in order to get a larger array of choices?
Those are details that can be worked out. Mm-hmm. But the point is, right now, if you leave your employment, of course, you lose your health insurance. That is a problem. We think that individuals can make better choices to meet their needs of themselves and their families. And an individual with a young, healthy family may choose a policy that addresses certain things like, are my kids going to get the immunizations? Am I going to have access to a doctor when my child gets sick? Whereas an individual with a complicated illness may make a different kind of choice with an insurance plan that offers more choices, more access to higher cost drugs, et cetera. There, again, Americans are very good in every other aspects of their lives of making choices based on value. And so this really gets back to what is the value that we're getting for the money that we're spending as a country.
And with that part of the plan, how many people would the AMA expect to become covered who aren't now?
Well, it depends, and it really depends on whether or not one imposes a mandate.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be the issue. That's a political question that needs to be debated.
And the AMA doesn't take that on in its plan, correct?
We do not. At the present time, because health insurance is so affordable, we are not imposing
because health insurance is so
unaffordable.
I thought you said affordable.
I misspoke. Because health insurance, at least for individuals on the individual market, is so unaffordable, we do not make that mandate effective for those at the lower income levels.
And then the third piece of the plan is fair rules of the game that include protections for high-risk patients and greater individual responsibility.
Absolutely.
What is that about?
Well, first of all, as you undoubtedly know, an individual attempting to purchase health insurance on the individual market who has a pre-existing condition like breast cancer, it's not a matter of not being able to afford health insurance. It's a matter of being able to get it at all, at any cost. There has to be some protection because while individuals have to take responsibility for their own health, and we all need to do that, we need to address as a nation the issues of smoking, of risky choices, of what we eat, do we exercise. Those are things that we have to take responsibility for and have to have more of a conversation about. But having said that, there are many health conditions that personal responsibility is not the issue. It is an accident. It is an accident that someone develops cancer. It is not always due to smoking. So we can't penalize people who, through no fault of their own, have a bad condition that has made them essentially uninsurable at the present time.
One of the things that strikes me in our conversation and also in the reform proposal is that the AMA is not as specific as some other organizations are when they roll out their health reform plan. You clearly signal that there is room for negotiation, there is room for debate, there is room for different ideas to be brought to the table, unlike some other organizations. And I'm wondering why the AMA chose that strategically.
Well, we certainly have ideas about how to get
yes.
to implementation.
Right.
On the other hand, it is really important that this not be a political issue. We have to put politics aside and patients first. And this has got to be a bipartisan solution. So let's have the debate, but let's get to an answer, because to date, with all of the entrenched interests, we have had a worsening problem of the uninsured. Costs for health insurance are going up and up and up. Administrative costs are excessive, and that needs to be addressed as well. So at this point, we want all Americans to vote with the issue of the uninsured in mind. To that end, we have a large campaign called Voice for the Uninsured, and viewers can see that if they go to voiceforthenuninsured.com. We are asking all voters to demand of candidates, not just presidential candidates, but congressional candidates, state candidates, What is your plan for the uninsured? If you don't like the AMA plan, what's yours? Let's have the debate. Let's have the negotiation. But it is just too important for us to not solve this. And so our Voice for the Uninsured campaign is seeking by 2009 legislative remedies to allow states to experiment with solutions that will fit the needs of that state.
Well, you raise an interesting point there. Does the AMA view the states rather than the federal government as the place where real change, reform, whatever word you want to use, will take place, can take place?
We're already seeing that. Everyone is watching Massachusetts obviously.
Right.
Vermont, Maine. We also were watching California, where it was not implemented, as you know. We think that the states are the proper learning laboratories, because once we adopt a federal solution, if it's the wrong solution, that's not a good idea. We certainly want to know the appropriate American way to go that will solve the needs of all our people, those who now have health insurance benefits and those who are unable to afford it.
A final question. Give me a really hard-nosed assessment of whether you think at the national level there will be, number one, a serious debate, and number two, changes made to the system.
There's already
in the coming years.
There's already a serious debate. There's no question. Where this will run into propellers is on the issue of how to finance it. It is not an issue of people being unconcerned about the uninsured, but the problem has worsened, and the problem has affected most families. When I talk to audiences about this problem, I ask them, how many of you in your family or someone in your block that you know has for some time been uninsured? 75 to 80% of the hands go up. So this is not an issue of people who are chronically unemployed. This is all of us. And in a downturn in the economy and people worried about losing their jobs, it is a bigger issue. So the debate is already there. What we have to do is force politicians to get serious and in a bipartisan way, with all of the interests being concerned, considered, but putting patients first. We must get to a solution, and we are really demanding, we're demanding that by 2009. We are committed to it. It brings us right back to where we started. We think every American deserves a physician they can trust, that they can rely on to get the health care they need when they need it.
If the AMA got what it wants, how would it change the economics of being a doctor?
Well,
not the practice, but the economics of it.
Well, it's interesting. I guess from a very selfish standpoint, one could say, well, some of the things that we're doing for patients who have no insurance that we're doing for free, we might get paid for, but that's really not the issue. The issue is, would a patient come to see me earlier in their disorder? Would they come to see me for the preventive care that they need? That is the goal, to make sure that people get the care they need when they need it. We think that that will make a difference in the economics of health care. We think that doctors will be able to see any patient who needs their time, as opposed to trying to make sure who has insurance, who doesn't have insurance. And the real problem is not a patient who comes in who doesn't have insurance, but a patient who fails to come in because they're worried about going bankrupt.
Dr. Nancy Nielsen, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Jackie.